I'm going to cheat a little bit this morning and copy somebody else's sermon, more or less word for word, okay? Now, this is the way the Gospel of Matthew is divided up, okay? The Gospel of Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, okay? And in the Old Testament, you had the first five books. They're called the Torah or the Law. And they were kind of the most, one might could argue, the most important five books of the Old Testament. At least for some people they were, without a doubt. And the Gospel of Matthew is divided into five discourses. And so you have a narrative section. And the narrative section, we've just been through this. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. Then the Magi visited. Then John the Baptist appeared. And then Jesus went out into the desert. And it kind of tells a story about what happened. And then you go through a narrative, and then you get to a discourse. And the discourse is like, if you will, a book. And there's five of them. And the first discourse in the Gospel of Matthew is the Sermon on the Mount. And so the Sermon on the Mount is three full chapters, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And I remember a few years ago, many, many years ago, actually, I saw a movie about Jesus. And in this movie, Jesus is preaching and teaching, and he's preaching and teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought to myself, he didn't say all that stuff at the same time, did he? And lo and behold, see, in my life experience as a Catholic, listening to the Sermon on the Mount being proclaimed, we would get a little section of it on this Sunday, and we'd get a little section of it next Sunday, and then we'd get another little section the Sunday after that. Then Lent would come, and then Easter would come, and in June we'd read a little bit more of it. And you never really got the sense, unless you sat down and read it yourself, of how the Sermon on the Mount is structured. And so today, I said I was going to copy somebody's sermon. So it's going to be the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I just read the Beatitudes for you. Now, how the Sermon on the Mount works, who wrote the first five books of the Bible? We understand it is our traditional understanding that they are the work of Moses. And where did Moses get the law? He went up the mountain, right? He went up the mountain and God delivered to him. And so it's very deliberate. The author of the Gospel of Matthew says, when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, and I will start with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when you are when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. No, it is set on a lampstand where it gives light to the whole house. Just so your light must shine before others, that people will see your good deeds and give glory to your heavenly Father. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of the commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of God. But whoever obeys and teaches the commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your fathers, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fire of hell. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has something against you, leave your gift. Go to be reconciled with your brother, then bring your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge. The judge will hand you over to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. And amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It would be better for you to lose one of your members than have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It would be better for you to lose one of your members than have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Amen. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not make a false oath, but be good to the Lord on all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's thrones, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair black or white. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn your left one to him as well. If someone wants to take you to court over your shirt, give him your coat as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go 2 miles. Give to the one who asks. Do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, you will love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and do good for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the good and the bad. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense do you have? Do not tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what's unusual about that? Don't the pagans do that? So be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But take care not to perform righteous deeds that other people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give to charity or to a good cause, don't blow a trumpet before you as hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, so that they can win the praise of others. They have received their reward. But when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So your almsgiving is in secret, and your heavenly Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to stand in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. But when you pray, go to your inner room and pray in secret to your Father. And your Father who sees you, he will repay you. In praying, do not babble like the pagans who think they will be heard because they use many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not subject us to the final test, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not appear to others to be fasting. And your heavenly Father, who sees in secret, he will repay you. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and decay, rust will destroy them, and thieves can break in and steal. But store up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can destroy, and thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Stop judging, so that you will not be judged. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and the God of money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap. They gather nothing in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your life? Why are you anxious about your clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers. They don't work or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown in the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you? O you of little faith, why do you worry and say, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? These are things pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, Tomorrow will take care of itself. Today has enough evil. As you judge, so you will be judged. The measure that you use to measure others will be used to measure you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your own eye, then you might see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand your son a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asks for a fish? If you, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By your fruit you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a rotten tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. So by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on judgment day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?" And I will say to them solemnly, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers." Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the flood came, the wind blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. But everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them is like a fool who builds his house on sand. And when the rain comes, and the flood comes, and the wind comes and buffets the house, it will collapse and be completely ruined. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished, for he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. The Gospel of the Lord. So that's the Sermon on the Mount, about 98% of it anyway. And so my encouragement to you, as I proclaim the gospel today, as I proclaim this beautiful, beautiful sermon, challenging sermon, humbling sermon, right? Leaves us thinking to ourselves, "Lord, have mercy, I'd be a sinner," right? Which it's supposed to do. That's what it's supposed to do. And lead us, less likely to judge others and more likely to strive to be righteous in the eyes of God and not in the eyes of the world. So read the Bible. Read it for yourself. Let our good Lord Jesus speak to you. He has powerful words, transforming words, healing words. There is grace in the sacred scripture. I read one of the discourses for you. There's five of them in the Gospel of Matthew. Read the sacred scripture. Let our good Lord speak to you.